Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. We were all wrong, and NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Mac Jones, was right. Is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. a guy who may as well have kissed his sister after this past Sunday. And with me, as always, is AJ. The draft begins in Mobile. Marchese.
Amen. That's all I got to say to that. I mean, we got all these other competing...
The draft begins at the Trop. You know that as well as I do.
It's not there anymore, though.
Well, then that's probably why no one cares about it.
Exactly. Anymore. Amen. Let's move on.
Move the East-West round game back to the Trop, or we'll never watch it again.
Retweet.
Today, we're breaking down the best and worst rookies from Week 10 in the NFL. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving up to Cleveland, maybe. Looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day. Don't draft specialists on the second day. Maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
We have a new sponsor that you guys are going to love. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 7,000 plus early adopters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com. to create a free account, and when you deposit, make sure to use promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. Join Symbol and start investing and profiting from your favorite teams. The other thing you can do is head to the iOS App Store, download the Spotify Green Room app for free, and get in on the live audio-only sports talk platform. It's a space that's better than Twitter's spaces, where you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Get in on the conversations that you listen to here every day and show your own experiences and takes on the app. All you have to do is create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group. Be notified when the Green Room goes live, like me with my Maction Maniac... AJ, give me an M word.
Magic.
Maction Maniac Magic Green Room, where I break down only the directional Michigan schools. This week, we'll be doing an hour on what makes Lou Nichols tick.
I want at least 30 minutes on why there is no Southern Michigan.
Because there ain't no room in the Midwest for the South. Get what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it, brother.
Okay. We had a whole flurry of more Senior Bowl acceptances since last night. As is tradition, I will read them all and then ask AJ which are the most exciting and then have AJ tell me he doesn't remember which one they named.
Yeah, correct. I tried to make you hold off until next week, so it'll be like just a 30-minute list. But alas, here we are.
Here we are. Okay, so let's get into it, AJ. Starting with FIU running back Devontae Price, fellow running back from the state of Florida, and Florida running back Damian Pierce, a slew of pass catchers in South Alabama receiver Jalen Tolbert, Nevada receiver Romeo Dubes, SMU receivers Danny Gray and Reggie Roberson Jr., SMU tight end Grant Calcaterra, Nevada tight end Cole Turner, Wisconsin tight end Jake Ferguson, offensive lineman Tulsa's Chris Paul, Chattanooga's Cole Strange, Virginia Tech's Lasitis Smith, moving to the defensive side of the ball, Arkansas defensive lineman John Ridgeway, Texas A&M defensive end Michael Clemens, Houston defensive lineman Logan Hall, Virginia Tech defensive lineman Amari Barno, linebacker from Wyoming Chad Muma, Appalachian State linebacker DeMarco Jackson, Florida linebacker Jamario Moon, and Texas A&M DB Leon O'Neal Jr., Missouri DB Caleb Evans, and Houston DB Marcus Jones.
Those names almost got you there. Yeah,
no, I was starting to lose my mind. I love, obviously, you tend to get more small school guys early, but I love the amount of exciting small school pass catchers in this group.
Definitely. And honestly, I am personally most excited for Cole Turner because I've been tooting his horn for about a year now, and I still feel like he doesn't get enough appreciation. And I think he's going to go in to Mobile and be a fucking star.
Especially given this senior tight end group and the tight end group in general, is this going to be Cole Turner's breakout, do you think? Is this his chance to kind of put himself as potentially a top 100 pick at tight end in a class that I still don't even think has a clear top 100 pick in the group?
Yes, I think so. He's just going to be too big. And, you know, like, the safeties are never that good in one-on-ones. Like, he's going to get a lot of chances just to go in and pluck balls and dominate those red zone drills. And he's going to look, I think, more athletic than Fergie and Grant and whoever else shows up there. And he's bigger and longer than them, too. So, yeah, I think this is going to be the show for Turner.
My personal favorite my favorite offensive skill guy that they had is Devontae Price, who in a bad running back crew,
yeah,
especially in the senior group,
yeah,
I think he's really got a chance to shoot himself up the board because he's been playing for 4 or 5 years at FIU, and we've heard how bad that Butch Davis has straight up told us how bad things are at FIU right now. and Price, despite horrid offensive line play, has produced. His statistics dropped off a bit this year because the offensive line's so bad, the team's so bad, they're 1-8. But 6'2", 215-pound back, who you throw on the tape, he is long, and those long legs help in terms of I don't think he's like the most straight-line explosive guy, but he's such a long strider that the burst shows up, the contact balance shows up. He runs a little high, but guys just fall off him. And I think he's got underrated vision, and it makes him a really intriguing one-cut back who I think is going to be a day-three pick who pays instant dividends for whoever drafts him.
I think he's got a really good chance in Mobile because I don't think this crop of running backs is going to be very impressive.
And the other thing is he rarely had opportunities to catch passes at FIU. So this is a really good chance for him to kind of show up and show what he can do as a pass catcher. Which, as we always say, like you're not going to get a ton in practice rush-wise from a running back. But pass catching and pass protection are going to be huge for Price in Mobile. And I'm really excited about him.
Can I talk about also Calcaterra really quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Because, I mean, I haven't tuned into too many SMU games this year, but I should have been. But the couple I've watched, I don't think Calcaterra's been too great. But, like, that being said, I love that he's getting the shot in Mobile, especially, like, you know, coming back to football. And he's got the pedigree and he's got the goods. I think it's really, really cool that he got there. And that's going to be a really fun storyline to follow.
And obviously, Danny Gray's kind of been the breakout guy at SMU this year. But I'm excited to see Reggie Roberson there because excluding this year, the past 3 years, he's been one of the most dynamic players in the country, but ended up getting hurt each year. Yeah. He's been healthy this year, but he hasn't been as, I think, explosive as we've seen in years past. So this is a good chance for him to kind of build that draft stock back up. Because there was a time last year when we were talking about him as a potential top 100 pick before the injury.
Yeah. No, there was. I mean, I think it wasn't just us. I think it was a lot of folk. Like, he was tearing up the country before the ACL.
I just want to interrupt to let you know that the Ball State Central Michigan game has had a technical difficulties thing up in the corner for the whole broadcast. And now it's just like the whole broadcast is just constantly going blue screen, and they've just thrown it to commercial as a result.
That's sick.
That's Maction.
Offensive line.
Lasitis Smith's one of my favorite players in the country, so I'm really excited he got there. Sorry about Justin Fuente, by the way, AJ.
Thanks. I needed that.
Yeah. He's an absolute mauler in the run game. I think he's got a great chance to really – there are some fellow Lasitis heads on draft Twitter with me, but I think this is a chance to really put himself on the map as a potential day two pick, and because I very much think he can be that. So I'm really happy he got the call.
That's a really good shot for him. On defense, who gets you going the most?
I think – it's hard not to say Marcus Jones.
That was my just top because guy.
Yeah, just because not only what he does as a corner prospect, but he's the most dynamic return man in the class. And although he lacks size, he's oh my gosh, I'm just gonna break some news. Rashad White was added to the Senior Bowl, so there's another running back.
Oh, that's a fun one.
That is a fun one. Sorry, we'll jump to him in a sec after we're done talking. Jones, but yeah, Jones is a legit corner prospect, and then you throw in what he does as a dynamic return man, and like he's even had a role in offense this year. He should win the Paul Hornung Versatility Award.
I agree.
But like I think that's a really fun one.
By the way, weak Hornung here, but that aside, I think Jones should win it. Rob, I finally read that Senior Bowl article that you've been referencing, and they're really, really high on him too.
They're talking about him as a day two guy.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's cool. I don't know if I'm there, but I haven't gotten into his tape from this year. But I love that he got the nod, and yeah, it's gonna be exciting to see what he can do. You know, truly getting tested in one-on-ones too. Like you said, it's a good group of pass catchers already. I'm kind of curious if they get him a couple snaps on offense. They just flip him the other way a couple times.
They even mentioned that in the Senior Bowl article.
Yeah,
they mentioned the idea of like asking him to play a little receiver and like, is he Jamal Agnew, but a way better corner? Maybe. Another guy they hype up in that article is Chad Muma, too, the Wyoming linebacker, who they didn't say is as good as Logan Wilson, but they kind of implied he's similar level to that of Logan Wilson. So I think it's a huge week for Muma, who's known as a great run defender and great tackler, but to see, does he have the ability to hold up in coverage? Will he look good covering backs one-on-one and tight ends one-on-one? So that's another huge week, because we saw what Logan Wilson did for himself at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good one. Rashad White, let's jump to him. That's pretty exciting. I think that Travion Rudolph, 75-yard touchdown, by the way, just now.
That's your guy. Yeah, you love Northern Illinois.
He's really good on a reverse. Anyways, he's fast as hell. He kills all the angles. Anyways. White's had like a really good year though, and I haven't watched too many Arizona State games because they've been shit.
He's kind of lived up to everything we hoped he would going into the year, but no one cares about Arizona State. He's also popped off their last two games against USC and Washington. He's run for like 380 yards. But he's been used as much as a pass catcher as pretty much any back in the country, on top of what he's been doing as a dynamic runner. In what we saw in those four games last year, was what he could do as a pass catcher is what got people so excited. So I think the noise around him as a prospect dropped off, because again, no one watches Pac-12 football really, and especially Arizona State. Lou Nichols, huge touchdown. White, I think, will have the buzz will slowly start to build back up as people dive into the tape as we get closer to the draft. And then I think he's the perfect type of running back to thrive at the Senior Bowl, because he's going to look so good catching passes.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say the same thing. That's good. Yeah, maybe I was wrong about Price. I think maybe it's the White show now.
But I mean, hopefully they put them on opposite teams, but you never know. I think those are the two, probably going to be the two most interesting Senior Bowl running backs.
Do you think White is more American or national?
Definitely national.
Yeah, and Price is just more American. I totally agree. No, you're right. They have to. They gotta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's probably enough Senior Bowl talk, given this is our NFL rookie show. But hey, we had to fill time. There wasn't very much rookie QB stuff this week. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, both didn't both out again. Justin, or I guess Trey Lance dressed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He just doesn't play.
Yeah.
Like Davis Mills didn't play. Zach Wilson still hurt. Justin Fields was on bye. So just Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones this week. The number one pick and the number 15 pick. The first and last quarterback taken in the first round.
And I got stuck both with of both them. Of them.
Yeah. I was so happy I didn't have to do either of them, to be completely honest.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes. But when we split games, we draft the first couple. And then the leftovers, we leave up to our official coin tosser, Chris Matsoukas, who does not toss a coin. He just decides arbitrarily. But I got Lawrence. This is going to be me talking for the next 15 minutes straight. And I'm going to fill time, Rob. I got a pretty in-depth, and I realized I was typing way too much about Lawrence. I'm like, this is not an interesting game. He was 16 of 35, 162 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Exciting. I feel like there's a lot of third. I feel like this game for Trevor Lawrence was third downs, in good ways and some bad, because the first third down of the game, he was pressured immediately. Threw it like kind of towards Dan Arnold, and like felt like he was almost there, but he wasn't there quite yet. Incomplete. And then the punt gets blocked. The next play, touchdown for the Colts. It was 10-0 before Lawrence completed a pass. They get back on the field. He made a pretty nice deep throw on his next third down, which was his next attempt. Deep sideline to Agnew. There's a lot of deep shots to Agnew, and they all kind of looked really catchable. This one was on the outside shoulder, well thrown, contested catch. Not an easy grab, but Agnew just didn't play it well, and it was a drop. And then it was 17-0 before Lawrence completed a pass on the next drive. So the game was out of hand, but it wouldn't be for the whole time. They get back into this. But anyways, his next attempt, chucks it deep on a rollout right down the sideline. Kenny Moore had it, dropped it. So I think that would have been his first. It should have been his pick. That was really the only like pick-worthy throw that I really saw, though, which is a good sign, but not exciting. And then finally, first completion, 3rd and 10. I think this is where you got to be a little hopeful about Lawrence. Ripped it to Jones. Tight window, really well timed. Good throw. And then the very next play was the Agnew sweep. Big play, touchdown. And he, I think Agnew's favorite for MVP right now, but we'll save that for later. but the exciting thing was they're trying to go downfield more than they were the last few weeks, it felt like, because it hasn't been there. But Lawrence just like either getting hit or his wide receivers weren't on the same page or making the catch. So there wasn't the deep throws, but they were trying them at least. And I think the big highlight after the third down stuff was he was doing really good stuff with his legs. And that's another thing that hasn't been there for a few weeks. And I think only one of his runs was designed. He had like 5 carries for 33 yards and it was just kind of a read keeper. Like going nowhere, to be honest, but I think they should go to the design stuff a little more, but he was just scrambling and knowing when, and just doing it really well. And he's a really good athlete, and he knows how to protect himself. They should let him do it more, and he should just do it more and decide to do it more because it was really a big part of the game for him. Still, I've noticed, I think all year, he's struggling with those out routes, the timing and accuracy of them. That came back a couple times in this game. Another couple more deep throws, Agnew, but no separation. He's not going to make those contested catches. Like, not bad throws, just like either step too far or Agnew just can't make the play. Had a nice throw moving to the right before half. Back over the middle to Dan Arnold. Next play, like, he used his legs 8 yards, got out of bounds. Again, when he runs, he looks like he's one of the best athletes on the field. Like, that's not a surprise, and should do more. Anyways, then a drop slant, and then a really ugly throw from Lawrence where it was just a quick hitter to Chanel on the out, and he put way too much on it and threw it over his head. And luckily, though, Wright hit the field goal. So it was 29.5. They were in the game. It didn't feel like it too much. They get the ball coming at half. And then, like, this is where, like, I don't know. The Jags just don't have an identity. So they finally start getting James Robinson going a bit, which has been their bread and butter. Obviously, he's been banged up, so I understand why they don't do it too much. Started with this drive, and they're running some play action off of it. It was looking okay. They drew a pass interference. Decent gain to Arnold that got called back on a blindside on another one. But nothing impressive from Lawrence there. But then, like, he made what looked to be a really good throw. He dropped the snap, kind of picked it back up, scrambled. Marvin Jones was, like, deep sideline. And it was there, and Jones just couldn't make the play. And that was so much what Trevor Lawrence is doing. Like, there's just no room for error for him. Like, if he doesn't put it right on the money, these guys aren't making plays. And he isn't always putting it on the money, of course. He hasn't been great, but, like, it's just feels like that the whole season for him. Anyways, then kind of another, like, poorly timed, forced back comeback route that was incomplete. And then they moved on from that, like the James Robin PA game. Then they went to the what they used to do, and sometimes they do, is that short, quick passing game. It's just the play calling is so bad there, Rob. Like they really got to move on from Urban. Like, they got to clean house. They got to give Trevor Lawrence a fresh start. It's not working. Anyways, I don't know. It's like, that pretty much sums it all up. But a couple good plays. Like I said, his best plays seem to be on third downs, which I think is a really good sign moving forward. I mean, he's made a few big-time strike throws on third down, third and longs especially. Another one, third and 10, deep back hip to Marvin Jones. This time he makes the adjustment and reels it in. They get into the red zone. Next third down wasn't an impressive throw, but Dan Arnold's slant, he picks up like 10 on it. And then they scored. They ran a two-point, just a shovel to Arnold. And then suddenly it's a three-point game. They get the ball back again, same score. Nothing really happened. Went to that back hip to Jones play again. Crucial third down, and Lawrence just kind of shorted it. But again, it's kind of a communication play, right? Then the Colts kick a field goal. They get the ball back with 2:17 left, down six. And that was just a lot of checkdowns. And then taking way too long to snap the ball. And then the game ends. Lawrence tries to step up, and he runs right into Deo. And he forces a fumble, and they recover, and the Colts win. And that's pretty much it. Not a very exciting performance again from Trevor Lawrence.
Wow, that was 15 good minutes.
I got 20 on Mac, don't worry.
Good to hear. If you don't want to listen to that, just probably throw in the highlights and be a little more exciting.
Such a mental. Yeah.
Okay. What is the worry zone with Trevor Lawrence right now? You've done farm. I think I've done like one Trevor Lawrence game somehow. What is the worry zone for you? 10 being this guy ain't it. Wait, no, other way around. Wait, no.
No, 10 being, 10 being
this
it.
Guy, yeah. This guy ain't it. One being he's the future franchise quarterback.
I'm at a 10 for Urban Meyer. For Trevor Lawrence, I'm at a 5. I don't think you can freak out too much yet.
Which I mean, is pretty high given 10 games into or 10 weeks into his career. He's the number one pick, can't miss quarterback.
Like, I feel like that sets expectations a little higher for me too, but yeah.
I think that's that number's higher than you would have expected prior to the draft, though, at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. But I didn't think this team would be such a fucking disaster. I thought he had playmakers. He doesn't. Like, Agnew's good, but like he's not a true wide receiver, and he's not a wide receiver one, that's for sure. Chenault has been a big disappointment. Chark going down with injury, obviously huge, but Urban hated him since before the season. Dan Arnold's like their best pass catcher, and he's not good either.
And they traded for him like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the offensive line hasn't been a disaster. I'll give them that, but like even then they have their moments of just stupidity. Like, not a lot going on. And the play calling is no help at all. It brings it all back down. So. Mm-hmm. I think you got to move on. I think you got to clear house. I don't think they will, but you got to give
on from Urban coaching Meyer. Staff, but not Trevor.
Yeah, of course. No, for sure. You got to give Lawrence a fresh start, but I don't think they will.
What about Mac? What have we seen from Mac?
He was good.
Everyone loves Mac.
Everyone loves Mac. He was 19 of 23, 198, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. This was his best game. This was the best game. I'll get right into it. The Browns scored on their opening drive of the game. Nice long touchdown drive. And then that was it. Then it was all Patriots from there on out. And they kicked the shit out of them. Second throw of Mac's game. I think it kind of set the tone early. Nothing big early. We get some big time throws later. But just a really well-timed hitch to pick up a first down. Nothing special. But not a super tight window, but just a really good throw. And like that's what he's been doing all year, and he's really good at making the short timing throws, good accuracy, good rhythm, good placement on them. And opposite of Trevor Lawrence, it feels like he has so much chemistry with like everyone he's throwing to, even though they're mostly tight ends and running backs. Anyways, a couple of plays later, nice play action. They rolled him out. You don't see it too much with Mac. Solid throw to Aguilar right at the sticks. Very comfortable on the move, I thought. Looked good. A couple sacks that he took that he just didn't feel at all, which I feel like has been a bit of a theme, but he just trusts his offensive line so much, I feel like, at this point that it happens. I don't know. And then, like, of course, the classic Brandon Bolden screen on third and long, and they convert it like the next play. And then right after that, his first touchdown. Remember how I was giving him shit a couple weeks ago? Every time they went empty, he could not do anything. Mm-hmm. They only went empty a couple times in this game, and they're both touchdowns. The first one was empty. Just a really nice touch, really good timing throw to the kind of corner route to Hunter Henry. Just floated it up like before, like right out of his break. I think they were on the left hash too, and Henry just came down right into Henry's hand. Really good throw. That was just the first drive. He started 6 for 6, 56 yards. First drive ended in a touchdown. Next drive, the first drop back, he had like a nice third down convert. Like had to maneuver a bit in the pocket, which is really promising to see. Found his receiver, just kind of put it up softly to him. He throws with touch really nice. A couple plays later, really nice deeper touch throw to Jacoby Myers, 26 yards towards the sideline. Just dropped it right in the back shoulder. That was one of the better throws I've seen from him this season. And like I'll talk a little bit more about this drive in a bit, but like this drive started inside their own 1 yard line, and then Mac, this is the big play, the best throw he's made all year. Finished this drive off with a throw that we have not seen him make or really even attempt. Just an absolute strike to Kendrick Bourne. Seam route, double coverage. He puts it high where only Bourne had a shot at it. So even if it went off his hands, yeah, it was incomplete. And then Bourne, he brought it down. Made a great grab and touchdown. And that was Mac Jones' best throw of the year, best throw of the day. Might be the best throw of the season if you put it all together. But he's getting confidence. And he's putting shit together. We move to the second half. Sweet throw, really. Stepping up in the pocket. Henry running an out route. Tight coverage. Mac drops it up and over the defender right into Henry's breadbasket. Really well thrown ball. Wasn't too much in the second half because they were already up so big. And then the last touchdown throw, it was out of empty once again. Hunter Henry, once again. He just kind of like did this stuttering release. Mac just waited. He was just looking at him. He beat Johnson and hit Henry easy breezy. Touchdown. And then it was Brian Hoyer time, and that's pretty much it. But Mac was good. Mac was really good. We saw a lot more big time throws from him, and even like the throws that I don't know. There was even more like just him not being exactly on schedule, or like not having the right on schedule throws, and having to create a little bit more, and like trying to find like the next target and making throws. This was his best game of the year, and this was again, you know, like I didn't watch the Cowboys game, but 200 yards, but only 4 incompletions, really clean, touchdowns, impressive throws. I'm going to be honest, I'm starting to like this Patriots team. I'm starting to enjoy watching them.
And more importantly, Jacoby Myers finally caught a touchdown. He did.
It was from Hoyer, though. But
The most career receiving yards for any player prior to scoring a touchdown. Just pretty impressive.
Fucking crazy, yeah.
You know, this Patriots team's strange, but I don't know, in very Bill Belichick fashion, mm-hmm. they seem to have found their identity. Mac Jones is getting better. He you said this is the best game he's had. He had some down games, but even his down games,
he wasn't losing although, them games.
Yeah, he like the Chargers game, they won the game and he played pretty poorly.
Yeah.
They found a way to win, and now they kind of have an identity. And I mean, I'm pretty sure the Rookie of the Year odds, him and Ja'Marr Chase are at the top.
You know what I think is extra enjoyable with the Patriots is because week to week in the NFL this year, the good teams will have great games and then absolute shitty games. And it feels like it's been such a chaotic, weird year. So it's kind of like nice to have the Patriots feel kind of like the old fat, like the old school Patriots, and be the team with the most clear identity, and they just lean on it, and it's kind of like a warm security blanket, and I'm starting to enjoy them.
Wow.
Plus the defense plays really good football, and the defense is a lot of fun.
If I told you you would be a big fan of this Patriots team in the draft of Mac Jones in April,
don't forget, I didn't hate Mac as much as you did, but I didn't love him at all. I'm just saying,
I still are you?
Sorry?
I feel like the story's not done with Mac Jones, but he's definitely been the best rookie quarterback, I guess. The
story's because it's going to end in a Super Bowl victory, rookie year, first quarterback ever.
That's what Bill Simmons said, so. It's feeling like 2001 again. Okay. Overall, this rookie week for me, I think was kind of one of the more lackluster ones. I felt like I had a rookie week that you normally have. So my rookie of the week options maybe were not as exciting as they've been in weeks past, but I'm going to give my offensive rookie of the week to the Heisman Trophy winner, Devonta Smith, who, though he only had 4 catches on 6 targets for 66 yards, the 4 catches were extremely important to the Eagles upsetting the Broncos. His 4 catches. The first one I'm sure everyone saw, the contested catch for a touchdown, was about 40 yards where he ran out and up with Patrick Surtain in really good position, and he just fucking won the combat catch. 2 Alabama studs going at it, and Devonta Smith won. And I thought that was pretty exciting and important because a lot of the questions revolving around Smith were, how would he hold up in the NFL with his kind of wiry size? How would he deal with longer corners like Surtain? And he won that combat catch, and I think that was big time. The BMI didn't matter. His other touchdown was a quick slant. They were like inside the Broncos 10. It was a quick slant out of a trip set with Kyle Fuller on him. And he just did a really good job kind of taking Fuller out of it by driving his slant deep enough downfield and then exploding out of his break. And it just kind of caught Kyle Fuller flat-footed because I don't think Kyle Fuller expected him to break. And he just kind of out-leveraged him, which is, we knew Devonta Smith was super technically sound and he does a really good job playing coverages and he's a very smart receiver. And I thought that was a great way of showing that. And his other 2 catches were key first downs. So 4 catches for all 4 being kind of money catches, and that touchdown being his best play of the season, that first one over Surtain. I felt he needed he's not getting as much talk, I don't think, as you expect from the Heisman winner receiver. And I mean, part of that is Ja'Marr Chase had been so good. But this Eagles team all of a sudden is kind of a little more feisty on offense than they've been. I think Jalen Hurts has looked quite good. So the last 2 weeks have been 2 of Devonta Smith's best games of the year. I think he was my offensive rookie of the week last week, too.
Yeah.
And so now he's over 600 yards in 10 games, and like he's on pace for 1,000 yards. And I don't know, just not enough talk about talk about old Smitty.
It feels like he's only getting his due from like the fantasy community, to be honest. The regular just football talkers, I totally agree. He hasn't gotten his due, and he's been really, really, I mean, great the last 2 weeks, but even he had that bit of a dip, and then he's come back, and I think that's kind of just how the Eagles' offense has, like you said, they've gotten more feisty.
Yeah, Hurts, like, especially given this quarterback class, I really don't think the Eagles should spend one of those picks on a quarterback, because I think Hurts has shown enough that you can still believe in him and give him a full another season of development before you make the call on that.
Definitely.
I mean, he's not been bad, and I think this is one of the best games of Jalen Hurts' career. Who's your offensive rookie of the week?
So I guess I could have given it to Mac Jones, and instead of doing that and not having content, who would I give it to, Rob? His teammate, Ramondre fucking Stevenson, who got to carry the load finally for the Patriots. My boy had 100 yards even on 20 carries, 2 touchdowns, a couple grabs too. Every time he touched the ball, Rob, it felt like he was breaking a tackle. And if he wasn't, it was like 3 guys having to take him down, and he wasn't going to the ground. It was so much fun. They leaned on him. It was awesome. I love watching him. He's quickly becoming one of my favorites. Like, he just runs so frenetic, but like so controlled at his size. Like, it's like if you put a bull in a china shop, but they knew how to do ballet. It's great. I love watching him. He's bouncing off guys. Like I say, he never goes down on first contact. He's just hard to get on the ground. It reminded me, like, obviously different positions, but like Laviska Shenault last year when he got his limited looks, he was like never going to the ground, and that was like kind of what Stevenson is. And the only time it's like 3 guys. First touchdown on a pitch. Like from, I don't know, 8 yards out or so, just patiently followed his blocks. It wasn't there to the outside, just cut back inside, easy touchdown. I mentioned that possession, that like the 99-yard drive that the Mac finished off with a great throw. They literally started as close as their goal line as you can possibly imagine, because it was a great punt by the Scottish Hammer, and then a holding call that something went half the distance. So it was literally inside the 1 yard line. And the first play, they run it up the gut to Stevenson. Huge pile up. Looks like he stopped, pops out of it, gets like 4 or 5 yards, gets him some breathing room. All right, I'm like, wait, this is a good drive start. I felt it, right? Next play, they give it to him again. 4 more yards. Like, okay, good work. Next, third down, they pitch it out wide. Lots of room there. And now all of a sudden he cruises and they're at their own 28-yard line. 3 plays to Stevenson. Gets the drive started. And like I said, the drive ends in the touchdown. So I think he created that. And Mac finished off with a great throw. Rookies supporting rookies. It's great. and like he caught the ball pretty well. He had one drop at the goal line, but 4 for 14. That wasn't a big part of his game. So I just like seeing that a little bit. Effective after the catch, obviously. And they do the screen stuff. And it wasn't as much this week with him specifically. But looked good doing that. Then the second touchdown at the goal line. Johnson, again, lots of Johnson at the goal line for the Browns. Wasn't good, though. He met him like at the one. He just ran right through him. And then he gets back up, and he gets right in his face, just trash talking to Johnson. No flag, thankfully. They didn't throw the flag. Johnson wanted the flag. But you got to love the attitude. I think like 60% of his yards came after contact. He's so much fun. It's so much fun. Look, you know they're not going to – if Harris is supposed to be back this week, you know they won't go back to him, but – it's still great to see. I want to see him like just alternate them, just give them alternating carries, and like it's gonna be hard to stop those two because they run so fucking hard.
I like that everyone thought it was such a good Patriots pick when it happened, and then he had no role, and now all of a sudden when they need him, he produces. Bill Belichick probably loves him.
Yeah, like it felt like,
but also hates him because he's a rookie.
Yeah, no. It felt like early. Like in the preseason, because he was probably the best player in the preseason. Like, if you're giving like a preseason MVP, it might have been Stevenson. I think he led them the whole league in yards. But like a lot, because I was following it for our fantasy purposes, right? And a lot of the talk was, you know, like the running back coach giving him shit, like saying he can't block. He's got to clean stuff up, and then he's going out there and having, you know, 150 yard games in the preseason. So it felt like the whole time they're kind of like just like on his ass because they knew he's going to be good. You know what I mean? And
probably.
And it still feels that way, but no, yeah, I agree.
You know who else is really good?
Who?
The Georgia defense, despite losing multiple guys to the NFL, and probably the most low-key of their starters that they lost, who actually ended up being a top 100 pick, was Monty Rice, who the Titans took 92nd overall, and he didn't really have a role. He was just playing special teams for the first couple of weeks of the season. Then 2 weeks ago, I mentioned he kind of flashed a little bit against the Colts. Last week, he didn't play a single defensive snap against the Rams. This week, he was playing starter snaps against the Saints. Ended up playing 69% of the snaps. And he looked really great against the run. 11 tackles. He's my defensive rookie of the week. I didn't have a clear guy. Like, I'm not out here like pounding the table that it was a dominant performance, but I felt I should give him the nod because although Alvin Kamara was out for the Saints, Rice just looked so natural. And this was with David Long, who's kind of been a breakout linebacker in the league this year for the Titans. He was out, and I thought Monty Rice looked terrific. And between Monty Rice and David Long, I think the Titans have their starting linebacker duo. Doesn't say much for Rashawn Evans, the former first-round pick. But Rice just – he did what he always did at Georgia. He just gets downhill. He's so good at reading keys. He is so good at taking on guys and just shooting gaps. And just – he's wreaking havoc against the run. I don't know. He kind of came out of nowhere because no one had been talking about him because he had no role until like 3 weeks ago. And now, and Mike Vrabel hates rookies too. And now I think Monty Rice should be starting next to David Long at linebacker for the Titans.
It's a pretty like complimentary duo too.
It's just wild to me that like Monty Rice was like one of the emotional leaders on the Georgia defense last year. Azeez Ojulari was arguably the best player on the Georgia defense last year. Eric Stokes was a first-round pick on the Georgia defense. They lose all that, and the Georgia defense has still got like 10 dudes who are going to get drafted this year.
It is pretty ridiculous.
Recruiting matters.
I'm going to go with a team that didn't have this guy last year, but the defense has been okay. I'm going back to the well, just with Micah Parsons. I know it's boring, but there wasn't a guy that like stood out, and just watching Parsons do the things he does is kind of ridiculous.
It's hard to, when you watch, especially in a game like that where Atlanta couldn't do anything, you just kind of end up keying in on a guy like Micah Parsons, and it's just fun to watch how obnoxiously athletic he is.
Yeah. Athletic and like fucking physical, I thought, against Atlanta. Six tackles and a sack. The sack was nasty. It looked like he was running a route against a DB, except it was Caleb McGarry. So like he just like faked outside, stepped back inside, crossed him over, untouched. McGarry couldn't lay a finger on him. I think Parsons tweeted after that at Amari Cooper that he's got a better release than he does or whatever. Sacked him, sacked Ryan, forced the ball out too. Atlanta recovered. I think McGarry got back onto it, but regardless, it was just fucking nasty, and he was giving McCary hell all day as a pass rusher. Wasn't getting home. Go ahead.
He's been everything that he was advertised as being. Yeah. We saw it. We had an extra look at it because the Cowboys were on Hard Knocks, and he was kind of a personality to watch, but he's been everything everyone thought he would be coming into Penn State, if not more, because he's been such an instant freak of nature, playing multiple positions and dominating at both.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd be this good because, I didn't think they'd use him right. Should have trusted Danny, but...
You love Dan Quinn, so that shocks me.
I don't trust... It's just the Cowboys. I just assume they're idiots.
Yeah, Jerry Jones telling Dan Quinn how to use him.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? They use him pretty well. Like, it was both as an edge and as a linebacker, and obviously that they need him at edge, but... one win, he just, like, too fast to the get-off, just bent under McGarry, didn't get the sack, ran through the other way. But I thought he was, like, great against the run, too. Like, one tackle he made, like, Hennessy and Mayfield, more on Mayfield later, tried to combo him. He was just too physical. Knocked Hennessy down, made the tackle. Another one to the right, he was heads up on McGarry. Just instantly shed the block, man. Like just like McGarry wasn't even there. Like he was a fucking pylon. Just shed him, no resistance. Gets into the backfield, doesn't make the play, doesn't finish on Mike Davis, but forces him way around, and then just kept chasing him down and made the tackle, like around the line of scrimmage. So just the athleticism and the versatility is just ridiculous. Week in, week out now.
Okay, I hate to do this, but I'm going to go back to the well for worst rookie.
I did, too.
Liam Eichenberg shouldn't be playing left tackle. Like, I don't know what you do, but he is so bad. I think he has, like, been week in, week out, not just rookie, like, just one of the worst starting offensive linemen in the league. He got called on a hold against the Ravens on top of Justin Houston beating his brains in. He doesn't have the athleticism to hold up at left tackle. Yeah. Not to say he's got it to hold up at right tackle either, but maybe he's a guard. I don't know what you do because Austin Jackson was supposed to be your left tackle. Now he's a guard, and it's such a freaking mess. At least Robert Hunt catches touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah, so he was the reason Brissett got hurt, which maybe, hey, sleeper cell for Tua. Who knows? And then he gave up that sack in the fourth. We literally, they just came on the side. He didn't know who to block and didn't block anyone. And that's when Tua was stripped. He made a great play to get back on the ball. But it was terrible. PFF said he's got 44 pressures allowed and 9 sacks this season.
I don't know. They don't have a lot of other options, but I got to imagine, you've just absolutely lit his confidence on fire by leaving him out there for so long. And fuck, you know Austin Jackson's bad already. Just put him back out there. I don't know.
I don't disagree.
But, hey, alternatively, in that same game from his teammate, my primetime star has to be Javon Holland.
Mine too.
Part of it was the Dolphins' defensive game plan to harass Lamar by just blitzing the hell out of Javon Holland and Brandon Jones was hilarious and fun. Holland even said after the game, it's the most fun he's had playing football, I believe. he had fucking at least 5 hurries. He had a sack. He broke up a couple passes. He was on Lamar all night.
Yeah, no, him blitzing was the massive difference in the game. And he had the one PBU where he blitzed and just got his hands up, knocked it down.
Yeah.
I think it was the first play of the game where he fucking lit up. Who was it? Was it Duvernay? I can't remember. And that set the tone for the whole game. Yeah,
got. And this is last week he was my defensive rookie of the week. That's two huge weeks in a row from him.
Yeah. Had that awesome PBU on Hollywood, too. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
The sack was easy. No one picked him up. And then he got called on that terrible roughing call. And he had that one where he just kept getting home on the blitz. The one time Lamar put a nasty spin move on him. But, like, it was just so effective and so disruptive.
That was just such a fun way to – like, that Thursday night game wasn't supposed to be – and it really wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't.
But watching those guys, Holland and Jones, just blitz all night was gave us something to enjoy at least.
And Eichenberg.
Yeah, and Eichenberg just being as bad as ever, just a complete dumpster fire.
You know what though, Owe did have a bounce back game too, and it was the Dolphins, so it's really easy. But he had a really nice night. I think he had like three quarterback hits and a sack. So like that, yeah, it was good for rookies.
Yeah, just throw your rookies up against Liam Eichenberg or just the Miami Dolphins offensive line in general.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick at DB for my underwhelming performance. I already mentioned him earlier for Devonta Smith making a play on him. Pat Surtain, it wasn't like a bad performance. It was just that touchdown was obviously not great. You got to find the ball in phase and you got to break that up. Devonta Smith did a great job, but that was tough. On top of in the game when the Broncos were very much still in it, Jalen Hurts threw one straight to Surtain on the sideline where if he picked it off, like I think it would have at minimum had the Broncos in field goal range at maximum, but have been a pick six and he just dropped it.
That's awesome.
Those two plays were like in a game like that where the Eagles kind of pulled away late, but the Broncos were very much in it throughout. Those two key plays I think would have made the difference in this game, and so that was tough to see from him because he's been very Mr. Consistent all year.
I am
the ball skills two times the ball skills didn't show up for him.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, they've been showing up early, and yeah, the pick six like the first preseason game, remember? And yeah, no, that's not a good look. I'm sticking the AFC West and sticking at DB. I'm gonna go Trevon Merrick, and it's kind of just because we haven't gotten a good look at him yet. He made that really nice play for the PBU, speaking of ball skills, but he really, 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 really should have intercepted it, and he didn't.
He had two shots at picking that one.
Yeah, yeah, that was a bad play. And, like, overall, I don't think Merrick's been bad in the slightest, but, like, you just don't feel his impact on the field. And, like, for a rookie safety starting against the Kansas City Chiefs, they got their asses kicked. But, like, not noticing him is kind of good, but I don't know, he's just been kind of there, and like he's not going to make any big plays, but he's not going to give up any coverage busts either. I will say that I think he's tackling pretty well, so I'm like, I'm not knocking him other than like that dropped interception, and he's just been underwhelming. And if I can quickly just give a lesser one at DB, Greg Newsom. Surtain had his worst game. I think Newsom did too. And that's kind of bad considering that the Patriots don't throw to wide receivers. He gave up a little bit, and like he had two really, really bad pass interference calls. Like, I don't mean they were bad calls, they were good calls, just really bad plays on him. One on like a slant where he held, and just this was his worst game. They'd never went against, they didn't. I don't think they targeted Denzel Ward a single time. And when they're throwing to receivers, it's more against Newsom. Like, it wasn't like he got gashed or anything, but those couple bad plays and just didn't make the plays when they needed him to.
Focusing on some positives now, looking like a hit. Friend of the show, Quinn Meinerz.
Yeah.
Now, there were some struggles in pass protection, but positives, he is a monster on the pull.
Yeah.
When they pull him, he kills dudes. I think it was Javonte Williams off tackle left. They pulled Meinerz. And he made, like, he just threw a guy, like, 5 feet.
Saw it.
He also had a couple, yeah. And he also had a couple blocks where he just ended up on top of the dude, just, like, finishing him into the dirt. He looks like we expected him to as a run blocker, and it's going to take some time in pass protection. He kind of, his anchor, actually, he would get blown off the snaps, and now it was against fucking Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox, mm-hmm. Do the best. Vote Javon Hargrave to the Pro Bowl, people.
Also, you get to vote six long snappers. So, he would get like blown off the snap, but he did a good job kind of re-anchoring and resetting himself. So, although it was like hurting the pocket, he kind of rebounded well, I thought, in those reps. But overall, he looked awesome in the run game. Was getting some Wyatt Teller vibes.
I love it.
And he's got the best offensive line coach in the league. So,
speaking of Javonte Williams, I'm going to go with his old running mate, Michael Carter, who he's starting to become the dude that we thought he was coming out of UNC. Like, this game wasn't like some statistical monster breakout game. He had 39 yards on 16 carries. It's not great. Touchdown. But four catches for 43 yards, that I thought he looked good. And I think overall, he just looked really good. Everything around him was absolutely terrible, and he looked good, so I give him a little more credit. Good vision, good contact balance, running hard like we've seen from him like all year pretty much. A couple of plays where he just took like a big hit, kept his feet, and kept going. Just tough running and like a fun running back. And his touchdown was like from like 5 yards out. He met a bill at like the two and just lowered his shoulder. Carried him into the end zone pretty easy. He ended up like getting called short, but like I don't think he was. And then they just gave it to him, and he got in easy the next snap. And like I said, they're getting him involved in the passing game now too. Some of it was via screens, but like it was mainly just checkdowns, and like it was him turning nothing into something. And in general, I don't think Zach Wilson knows how to check down yet, but like. Hopefully he's learning watching, Mike White and Joe Flacco, and then if and when he starts again, he can get Carter involved in the passing game because it's good. And here, I'll tell you some PFF stuff here. So he only had 39 yards on the ground, but 29 of them came after contact. He averaged 0.6 yards before contact per attempt, so he was getting nothing. And then four of his six targets, he caught 43 yards, and 45 was after the catch. So more yards after the catch than he actually caught. So, impressive game, and I think he's good. I think he's good. I don't think we have to worry about Michael Carter. You just got to worry about the rest of the Jets.
As much hype as Najee Harris has received as a pass catching back, Michael Carter's like not far off in terms of total. He's like 10 less for total receiving yards this year, and I feel like he just hasn't been mentioned as much.
Yeah, it's because when Wilson was in, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know. But speaking of Steelers, my looks like a miss is because he's actually good. And when they drafted him, I thought, some defensive back versatility could play special teams. But I think there's a real role for Trey Norwood. I've mentioned it before on the show. But he had two big pass breakups against the Lions. He looked great playing nickel. They can move him around a little bit. Minka Fitzpatrick came out of the game for a snap, and he came in at safety. I don't know. Every time he plays like significant snaps, he holds up and he looks good in coverage. And I think the instincts are kind of the game changer with him. He's got really good instincts. He finds the ball really well, and he's a physical, versatile DB. So I've really enjoyed him as someone who, when they drafted him, I didn't think too much of it as a fan, but here we are. Now I like him a lot.
I'm going to mention Brown later, too. So, like, the Oklahoma trades, they've both been pretty good, like, kind of quietly good. Funny enough, I'm mentioning Spencer Brown for my looks like a miss in a positive light. And I mentioned him in a positive light a few weeks ago. And since then, he missed time with a back injury. He came back this week against the Jets. Yeah, it was the Jets, but I think Spencer Brown looks legit. I think it looks legit. I had him like 113th on my board. He went 93rd. He's playing like he should have went much higher than that, I think. Just really solid, patient, and physical like all day. The highlight kind of came in the Breida touchdown where they tossed right. He pulled and just absolutely steamrolled Chet, just like Quinn Miners. Just steamrolled the dude, and Breida just followed him in for the touchdown. One negative play where he didn't like kick out on the blitzer. It was Jarrod Wilson. He was engaged with it. Like, he was a blocking guy, though. And it may have just looked like Breida should have checked the blitz before he released. But who knows? That was the only one, like, maybe you can say a little negative. Other than that, clean game, physical, moving guys in the run, easy kind of work. And, like, here, this is from Joe Marino of the TDN. So the four games with Spencer Brown starting at right tackle, the Bills have scored 38.5 points. They're getting 448 yards per game. They're averaging 135 on the ground. And then the four games without, they're only scoring 25 a game. They're getting 364 yards total and only 111 on the ground. Spencer Brown seems like a difference in this Bills offense.
Between Spencer Brown and Trevor Penning, Northern Iowa might be offensive tackle you.
Yeah, you might be right.
That's wild. That I was thinking about that the other day when Penning got accepted his invite. It's wild that Northern Iowa ended up with a guy in Spencer Brown who's been one of the better rookie offensive tackles and a guy in Trevor Penning who I very much think is going to be a first-round pick.
Both, like, huge dudes. Like, you think that they get Power 5 scholarships, never mind not FCS scholarships.
Yeah, well, you'd think the Miami Hurricanes would have recruited Daniel Richardson instead of letting him get to the MAC. Nothing makes sense. What does make sense is Symbol. It's the sports stock market that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn a cash win payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for a profit. Use promo code SD to make your first deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money or just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. And if you want to get in on more than just podcasts, then Spotify Green Room is the place for you. The live audio-only sports talk platform is the perfect place to get extra fuel for your sports take fire. All you have to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. Okay. I'm going to jump into my needs to step it up. This was a tough one because I don't think he played a terrible game. And I think all the parts were there for him to actually have played a really good game. Mm-hmm. But Christian Darrisaw, it was like, at times, like, guys weren't getting home against him. But he was, I thought he was struggling a lot. He didn't see Joey Bosa too much. He did give up a sack where he just didn't block Bosa, similar to what Liam Eikenberg did. And he got called on a holding, too. But Uchenna Nwosu, I thought, was kind of really pushing him off the ball. In the run game, I thought he struggled to sustain blocks. And he'd be in good position. He would drive his guy a couple yards downfield, but then he wouldn't sustain the block, and that guy would tackle Dalvin Cook. Everything is there. It's just like a thing here, a thing there, and he's going to be really good. I'm not worried about him. But it was funny because I just like watched him pretty much every snap, and like he wouldn't give up a sack, but it would just kind of, at times, the technique would kind of be atrocious. Mm. And, like, he wasn't, like, his feet were slow, but he would just kind of get the guy out of the way anyway, or Nwosu would kind of blow him back a yard or two, but he wouldn't, like, let Kirk get hit. Everything's there, but it's just not complete yet.
That's fair. This was a very incomplete performance from the LA Rams on Sunday night. And Monday night. And I'm going to go first. I'm going to give you two, but first and foremost, Ernest Jones, who played 82% of the snaps, started his career nicely. I think I had him rookie of the week, his first start. And it was a rough night against the Niners. I thought he was out of position a lot, both against the run, mainly against the run. Sometimes against the pass, wasn't really getting to the ball first at all. Like, I don't think he made any like nice run stops. I think he might have like six or seven tackles, but like only two solo. And I kind of thought like his he was getting stuck on blocks a lot, and that was kind of a thing coming out. And I thought that was like the big highlight for him. And also he wasn't good in coverage. Didn't get exposed, but like, you know, they just ran down their throats, and they need him. They really, really need him to show up. And he's been good, but this was bad.
Well, that transitions well to my other needs to step it up, because Baron Browning, it was a similar thing for the Broncos, where for the previous two games he'd been playing a ton of snaps. This game his snap count decreased to 25%, and you could understand why. He just couldn't get off a block, and he was out of position a lot, and the Eagles offensive line could have engulfed him. And he actually lost a lot of snaps to undrafted rookie Curtis Robinson, who I thought was also really bad, and he was my not ready to play. Curtis Robinson played 61% of the snaps for the Broncos.
Wow.
Yeah. Very strange.
I was going to give you another, just a quick one. Very quick. Robert Rochelle, his play has decreased big time. I think he only played like 15 snaps or something. And in those 15, he was like not playing well. Like, I think you have like multiple catches. I think they're both on the same drive later in the game. He was not good. He was really not good. And you saw some really poor tackling from him too.
I also, because I already deemed Curtis Robinson for my not ready to play, I also want to throw Alex Leatherwood in there.
He's not ready to play?
He's not ready to play.
He's playing, baby. He can't deny it.
He got called on another penalty. Yep. He has 11 penalties on the year, 9 accepted. I don't know. He just does, he's playing right guard now. I don't know. Is Alex Leatherwood or Liam Eichenberg worse? Well, Eichenberg was at least a second-round pick, I guess.
Save that. Yeah, that's a good point. Save that answer for, let me tell you about Jilly Mayfield's day first, if I may.
Is he not ready to play for you?
Yeah, he's not ready to play either. And I guess, yeah, he at least was a day two pick, too. I think he's been rough this year. And it's almost like he doesn't get the same amount of attention because literally no one's watching Falcons games. I think they're juicing their attendance numbers because watch any home game for the Falcons, no one's there. Anyways. Armstrong got him one time where he just fucking cooked him with like this swipe. Mayfield couldn't even get a hand on him. He gave up like a good amount of pressures. And the funny thing is, like, not the reason I wanted to bring up, but like, I looked after him. PFF gave him a 90 grade. But I think it was literally a mistake. Like, not like they watched him like, oh, this guy had a good game and they're stupid. I think they literally just mistyped. Or at least I hope they did. I hope they did. And I'm in favor of usually like letting guys play through their struggles as rookies, especially on bad teams. But I guess like Liam Eichenberg, it might be time to sit Mayfield because you're shooting his confidence. And he's a young dude. He's got lots of time. Eichenberg's not is a little older. But anyways, Mayfield's got a lot of time. Just maybe sit him and I don't know. He hasn't been good. He's had his like little glimpses, but also been very bad overall.
It's funny the kind of the contrast in offensive line play. Like some guys, it seems there's no one who's it's been a lot of guys being awesome or exceeding expectations or guys being fucking terrible. There hasn't been a lot of like quietly solid play.
Yeah, like who's been the most quietly solid? I don't even know.
Like Rashawn Slater, but like Rashawn Slater's just been really good.
Yeah. That's I guess just relative to where he went. Cosme? I don't know. Maybe Cosme.
But he's been hurt for like 4 or 5 weeks now.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, best day three rookie. I'll give you an offense and a defense. Offensively, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's the Lions' best pass catcher. He's working the Steelers a little bit of the slot. 4 catches, 61 yards. Jared Goff like was broken and couldn't do anything, but Amon-Ra St. Brown kept kind of moving the chains for them. And then defensively for the second week in a row, Cam Bynum looked really good in that Vikings secondary. He played 100% of the snaps with Harrison Smith out. They blitzed him once. He had a big sack on Justin Herbert. He broke up another pass. Very physical against the run. The broken up pass was they ran a quick out with Donald Parham like from the 2-yard line. And it looked like Parham was going to have an easy touchdown. He just broke on the ball perfectly and broke it up. And it was great. Cam Bynum looks like an NFL starting safety through his first 2 starts.
All right. We get it, man.
That was right.
I had a lot of good day 3 rookies, but I've like already mentioned them. First and foremost, I would give it to Ramondre Stevenson. But instead, I'm going to give you offense and defense from the same team. Going back to the well with this one. Eli Mitchell. I know his yards per carry wasn't great. He had 91 on 27. But like 27 carries with like a broken figure in a game like this, like being the workhorse and like just grinding the game out, I thought in itself was impressive. It's not like he was bad. He had a lot of nice runs in there. I thought that was just like an impressive performance from him. And then on the flip side, Talanoa Hufanga had a good game, who you highlighted a couple weeks ago. 3 tackles, had that awesome PBU where he just timed it perfectly.
He's a ball magnet.
Yeah, he is.
He's always around the ball.
Just like at USC. And yeah, this time it wasn't him. Like you said last week, he was always around the ball, but he was giving up big plays, and he wasn't this week. He played a really clean game. He was pretty exciting, had that huge play, and looked solid. I was impressed.
Okay, do you have any undrafted rookies?
No, it's so shit this year.
No. Guess who has so many?
You got because you watched the Lions.
I got 3 Lions corners.
Wait, there's a third one now?
Mark Gilbert.
What? Wow.
Okay, so And it's funny because they all actually did stuff and they all like played well in the season. I mean, Mason Rudolph's fucking horrible, but all three of them broke up at least one pass. So Mark Gilbert had three tackles, broke up a pass, forced a fumble, played 34% of the snaps. Jerry Jacobs broke up two passes, played 66% of the snaps. A.J. Parker, five tackles, broke up a pass, 79% of the snaps. I think A.J. Parker's a legit potential starting nickel at some point.
I think so.
He's feisty as hell. Well, he's starting now, but he's feisty as hell.
It doesn't count.
Jerry Jacobs looks like a nice depth piece. And Mark Gilbert, this is, I think, only his second game. And he looked good, too. And the forced fumble was big. And not only that, I have another undrafted rookie, not from the Lions.
Hold on, quickly. It was the Mark Gilbert revenge game. That's why it was so good.
It's a very good point. But also, Naquan Jones from Michigan State, the Titans.
Yeah.
He's on the Titans. He had a big sack against the Saints. Just power beats. It was like power to arm over, beat Cesar Ruiz, big sack.
Fuck. Played
43% of the snaps, too.
It's Michigan State beating Michigan again. You had to bring it up, eh?
Yeah, I sure did. But, yeah, so whoever has Lions games just has unlimited undrafted rookies, and now we have Naquan Jones in the picture.
Yeah.
I saw him
make that snack on the red zone. I'm like, hey, he's undrafted. That's sick. Wasn't my game.
Speaking of Lions, rookie of Flash, Penei Sewell.
Good.
Looked good at right tackle against the Steelers. He held up against T.J. Watt pretty well. He looked awesome in the run game. They ran the Dan Campbell like Jared Goff could like was broken with the oblique thing, but Dan Campbell calling the offensive plays and just calling run after run after run, and the Pittsburgh Steelers just not knowing what to do.
Godwin Igbobuke is getting mixed in now. I'm in sick runs.
Yeah, fucking DeAndre Swift finally getting utilized.
It's fun.
But Sewell looked really good. Taylor Decker looked terrible left tackle, though. But Sewell looked really good, and Jonah Jackson also looked really good. Najee Harris, I thought, I know they lost, but this was, I thought, Najee Harris's best game in terms of tackle breaking.
Imagine.
Now, it was the Detroit Lions, but he ran for 105 yards on 26 carries, plus 4 for 28 through the air, but just kind of like consistently breaking first contact on every run.
Imagine Najee with Dan Campbell.
God, that's my watch.
Yeah. I got a long list of names, but I'll just kind of rattle them off quick. I mentioned Trey Brown already, but I thought he was good. Like, he played every snap for the Hawks. It's his job to lose now at corner. And made like one awesome play, 4th and 2, right before the half, triggered on the throw. Made a big hit while also swatting the ball away to force the incompletion. Seahawks ball. It was textbook. I don't think he gave up much of anything, really. He was not a bad Seahawk. The defense team played a really good game, actually. He was good. Flip side, I thought Eric Stokes, like, kind of the same thing as Brown. One pass deflection, didn't give up anything, and kind of opposite, though. Russell Wilson just fucking sucked. But Stokes looked good. Elijah Moore, quiet, but, like, he had 3 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Just like Michael Carter, I think Elijah Moore is good. The Jets are just really bad. He's touchdown, like, he caught on a hitch, like 8 yards outside of the end zone, made a guy miss and cruised into the end zone, looking explosive and fast, and they just got to give him the ball. And lastly, I'll give you the both Colts pass rushers. Quiddy Pay is back, I think. He had like 8 pressures, I think. He had a sack on Lawrence, where he just kind of was scrambling, and it was his first sack of his career. Kind of met him at Buckner. It was kind of like in the backfield a lot. Got dinged up again. Like, didn't miss time, but he got dinged up, and I'm kind of worried that injuries are something to watch for, but I'm going to hold out hope. I think he got, like, another half sack, but he didn't get credited for it. Anyways, then Deo made the play. Only had, like, 8 pass rushing snaps, but had the game-winning play where he stripped Zach Lawrence at that very end of the game, which I had to give him the shout-out for, too.
My king. Good to hear. I'll stick at edge for out-of-nowhere rookie, although he's, like, been playing all year. Jonathan Cooper, just so many hustle plays against the Eagles. Like, not a dominant performance or anything, but him opposite Malik Reed, like, he made an impact as an edge setter, and he just looks like a guy who's going to play in the league for a long time as a third edge type guy. Really because of the motor. He's just such a balls-to-the-wall type player. And also, before he got hurt, Jamar Jefferson, he only played 3 snaps, got 3 carries, 41 yards, and the touchdown, which he looked good on the touchdown, but he got hurt. He hurt his ankle on it. I was excited to see how they'd split him and Swift because Dan Campbell's addicted to running the ball, but then obviously Jefferson gets hurt early, and we don't get to see that. But I'm wondering What type of role he'll have going forward if he's healthy?
I didn't have anyone too big, so I'm going to give you like the most out of nowhere. Nashawn Wright recovered a block punt fumble for a touchdown. I had to give him a shout out.
Yes.
Nashawn Island, baby. It's not alive and well yet, but I hope so one day.
Okay, finally, my start the rook's a guy who has started, but his snaps have been kind of all over the last 2 weeks. Pete Werner, every time he's on the field, he looks like he belongs next to DeMario Davis, and he looks good. He had a big pressure on a blitz. He did end up playing 42% of the snaps against the Titans, but he's losing snaps to the combination of Quan Alexander, who's playing legit starter snaps over him now, and Caden Ellis is playing more snaps than you'd expect next to DeMario Davis, and I just don't get it. I don't... Okay, like, if you want to be like Quan Alexander, like, grizzly vet, been around the block, I don't know why you're playing Caden Ellis, though, over him.
I don't
and know. All, like, also, Quan Alexander... If Jeremy McNichols could catch, Quan Alexander gave up a touchdown, but he can't, so...
Okay, I'm going to give you two Browns. One is obviously a starter. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah only played 31% of the snaps. He's coming back from injury, so I get it. And he didn't look great, but like I thought like that's more on the Browns. I think if they I don't know, maybe they had no fucking game plan, because I think if they utilized him well, he could have just been that master of taking away that short passing game, like working on the screen game. And
right.
I think using him in that way would have been huge against the Patriots. And instead, it kind of looked like he was just kind of wishy-washy in the box. Again, maybe not fully 100% yet. But still, I feel like they should have got him on the field more at the very least, especially when they're getting gashed. And in front of him, I thought Tommy Togiai kind of I liked what I saw from Tommy Togiai. And
a lot of Buckeye talk today.
Yeah, sorry. Just like some stout run defending. He only played 33% of the snap. And then him run defending well could have been really helpful against the Pats. But yeah, I get it also, like, you know, a deep line in Cleveland. But I just want to see him get more looks, especially in a blowout. I thought he showed something.
It's a Buckeyes type year, ain't it, AJ? No. We're winning the Natty, no. And we have all the best rookies.
No.